Hey pissheads, welcome to Drinking Games Podcast. This week we, well, month shall I say, fucking hell, he's had too much already. This month we're talking EGX. Yes, the Drinking Games crew was there, so stay tuned to hear our thoughts. Like, subscribe and follow, bitches.
Go on to the indie games.
Rezzed.
Rest section. I was wondering what you're going on about.
So
before you jump into the indie section of your games, or your question, I just want to shout out to all the universities and all the educational pieces that we're putting on.
Yes.
A lot of, like, I didn't spend much time in there. Not because I didn't want to or didn't have to, but I had a little look around. But there was so much. So much opportunities for anyone wanting to get into gaming to use EGX as a platform to gain that knowledge and speak to people that are part of it. Not just from the studios that are more than willing to talk, let us talk to them about their games, but the different university and educational courses that are available to everyone. I think I saw
chat about
actually your career and how you can get about it. So yeah, anyone that's going to go to the next one, check out those little areas.
You weren't there on a Friday as well. It was really nice to see that some schools actually took kids there for a school trip. So it was like...
Yeah, that's incredible.
Like, yeah, teachers there were rocking up in, like, yeah, school buses and stuff, taking the kids to school trip. That was like, that is... That's good that kid teachers and schools are supporting it, because they should. It's really one of them... bigger viable industries in the UK, despite the UK not having any decent funding support for developing, which is a shame.
Well, not since they got rid of the game tax, which helped. And there's plenty of political reasons as to why the UK is no longer a viable place to host a production studio, but there is certainly the talent within this country.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's a shame. But... yeah, I suppose we'll go on the indie after that. Which I think the indies honestly stole the show for me.
They did it for us.
Yeah.
We spent quite a lot of time in the indie section.
So while Jack was being all, I'm bad, pressure. me and Griggs kind of spent more time together, and we wandered around together. So we didn't look like sad at losers.
I was just more thinking, it was, well, you... forfeited your right to enjoy the indie section, it was.
Well, I still enjoyed it. I just went there in a different mindset. And it's not my farm important. playing it like that.
It's in our podcast to get a fucking press. No, I'm joking, he didn't.
But yeah, it was fun. I mean, I played, well, I don't know where to start. I'll start with Grip first. If you saw that.
Saw it. Didn't play it.
Which is a...
Looks like the grid.
No, it's a... spiritual successor to Roll Cage, if you remember that on the PlayStation.
Nope.
You had the like the flat car with the big wheels, and you could go upside down on roofs, and then it would drop and still go, and you could do loops and loops.
Okay, no.
It was a good little driving game, so it was that... That I had a blast on it. It's Roll Cage, but all new and fancy. So
can't ran
fast. It ran fast, man. It ran fast, which was what you really want. It was a lot of speed behind you. I really felt like I had the G's.
So did it have? You mentioned Roll Cage. Did it have kind of a destruction derby sort of feel?
There's power ups that you can get and you shoot shit.
So it is a combat-driven...
Yeah, combat, drive, race, kind of, wipe out with wheels.
that's just any racing game.
Well, with any combat thing, yeah. Well, that's it. It's that kind of thing. Arcade-y fun.
So that was brought by Wired Productions?
Wired,
yes.
And it's going to be released on all formats on November the 6th.
There you go. Worth grabbing if you like arcadey races. There's not a lot of them type of races anymore. Everyone's going for the realistic shit now. And, you know, if you want something with speed and just fun, that's the one. Then we had the new Mega Drive game, which is making rounds on the circuit, Tanglewood.
Do you want to just elaborate on the fact that it is a Mega Drive game?
A new, wholly new, brand spanking new Mega Drive game.
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Why not, indeed?
Just why?
So I spoke to the developer's wife.
developer's wife?
I think it was wife or girlfriend, whoever. And
you know who it is?
I can't remember her name. I only briefly
Big
spoke
Evil
to her.
Big Evil Corporation.
Yeah, but I can't remember her name.
Doris.
And she said how they had to import all the chips from various factories. They had to make sure that the chips are right, because if the chips aren't right, they're just dead, and there are very, very few of these chips around, so they had to really source them. It took him, I think, I want to say 6 or 9 years to make the game, because he had to learn the programming software. They're taking a lot of inspiration from newer games to make the game, so it's kind of like a modern-day platformer. I'll be honest, I played it. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing. but that was because he was speaking with a representative from Digital Devolver, who they were going to have a chat on stage or do one of their sessions. So basically, he was busy, and when I like literally moved to go and obviously go to one of my appointments, she clocked and she was like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there Saturday." I was like, "It's cool, you know. I've got an appointment." I had a brief chat with her, but yeah, you know what? It's making a big buzz. And I said it to her. I was like, on the collector circuit, it's making a real big buzz, and they've gone out the way to try and make the cartridge as authentic as possible. The cases as well. There's a manual.
Yes, made the manual. Was it a proper Mega Drive manual, which was
She said that they looked into the paper, and he said the guy wanted that same type of paper, the same type of smell.
That's awesome.
They've even put the tag on the box.
Oh, the actual one that used to hang up.
They did it on Twitter, and everyone went yes, and she went yeah. Everyone went crazy. I went yeah. You have to just have that. It's just the small little things. So they've really, really gone to town. Even the artwork on the case, because they showed me the artwork. The artwork on the case and on the cartridge, it's just, it screams Mega Drive.
Looking forward to seeing more of that. Do you want to say the name one more time?
Tanglewood. Retro fans, check it out. It's coming on Steam as well, so even if you don't, if you like your Mega Drive stuff and you've not got a Mega Drive to play it, or you want...
Or Genesis.
Then
Windows, Mac, and Linux. What's next then, Mr. Presspass?
We'll go with Eldest Souls. That's one I played.
Dark Souls.
I really like the name. It seems you can easily get tongue-tied and say Elder Scrolls.
I think it's pretty. It's a top-down Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. It looked like a lot of Hyperlight Drifter and the way you dash, a lot of dashing, you're invincible with the dash, so it's got invincible frame. It was played really well. I played it only for a few minutes, but it was really responsive, which is what you want in that type of game. Looked good. The boss designs were really, really, really good. So again, if you like your Souls and your 2D kind of Souls stuff, that's another one for you. The developer was really chuffed that I spoke to him and gave him a shout out and stuff. So,
Fallen Flags Studio.
Yeah, Fallen Flags. Really nice people. I think you know what you're going to get with that one. It would be nice for him to, get it up and running demo wise and stuff like that for other people to play. Because I think it's just one of them games that's going to be, a hit for a crowd.
And actually, their write up for the UGX app is a lot better than a lot of others. It's only a few paragraphs, but compared to others that just say, this is a game, this is when it's coming out, this is what it's coming out on, here you go.
Bare minimum, so to speak.
Yeah, so it's like, it goes on, so it's like, Eldest Souls started already.
Told you, you get tongue-tied, you can easily say the wrong thing.
Flipping Elder Dark Souls, as we're going to now call it, is a Souls-like pixel art RPG. The old gods have been long imprisoned. Humanity has been prospering, with great kingdoms arising on now-forsaken temples of worship. And it goes on like that throughout the rest of the write-up.
That's what I mean. So yeah, it's like four or five
paragraphs.
Seem like they've got something solid going with that. As I say, it was just a solid game. Really, yes. Really solid. I spoke to a guy. His studio's called, I'm sorry if I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Studio Zeinhander. He's a Nottingham guy.
Oh, aye.
He had his university project which he wants to develop further.
Nice.
Really eager to get feedback, and someone could tell he's from Nottingham, wanted negative feedback, because he's like, the only way you're going to improve is if you get negative feedback, which I 100%,
yeah.
But I just said, I can't really give you much negative feedback, because you've done this on your own, and it's pretty impressive. The lighting in it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. There was some clipping with the dialogue boxes. He admitted his writing's not the solidest, but again, it was a university project, and it was really good.
Yeah, if he's done it on his own, you've got to give him leniency.
He had a day and night cycle with the people, so the people go into certain places.
Shit.
So that's what I mean. I was like, you've done this on your own. It's impressive. The water had really good lighting effects where the light bounced off it and stuff.
Cool.
It was like a detective kind of thing. Hopefully, should be getting a demo of that when he said he's going to just tweak some stuff on it.
Did you say what it was called?
I can't remember what he said it was called, but shout outs to Callum, he was a nice lad, and all the best with that one. Nice. He works for a company, I can't remember which company he said he worked for.
You're doing very well here, buddy, well.
I saw a lot of people, the days meld into fucking
that
one.
That was in left field, wasn't it?
No, it was just on the side, in Rest.
What was
in
the Rest. Name of this?
Rest.
Yeah, Studios Zeinhander.
Making him say it again.
I am making him say it again. Well, it's the least he can do.
Vine, is it W's count? It's V, isn't it? W's in Germany.
Normally.
Yeah, so Zeinhander. Maybe. I don't know.
Studio 14, remember?
No, he was, yeah.
I'll figure it out.
But yeah, it was nice work.
I found it. Mice on Venus.
Mice on Venus.
Okay. Mice on Venus. Developed solely by Callum Hancock, who was a 20-year-old second-year university student.
Good lad.
And it was really impressive, really impressive for just, one person.
Yeah,
so
there was quite a few games that were developed by just one person.
And it was, big shout-out to him, being not a good guy, really nice to, if we could meet him, maybe even get him on here.
Something we can certainly try and reach out to now that we know his name.
Right.
Next up, I'll do some that I don't think you guys saw, and then we can go through ones that
I was going to say, you keep knocking them out, mate.
Soundfall.
I was listening to your interview that earlier. A little bit behind the scenes. Ironically, the worst sounding audio was the one about audio.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck, this is the one that I should try and make the cleanest, but no, couldn't do it. But it sounds like a really cool game, so yeah, tell me a bit more about it. Like,
two guys from Epic Games, really nice guys, making a dungeon twin stick shooter rhythm game. And as crazy as that sounds, it really works.
So this is what I was kind of curious. So it's a rhythm game, but the beats, the times that you had to do, you had to shoot, and you had to kind of, each bass drum was kind of like a different type of enemy, a hi-hat was a different enemy, or something along those lines?
That's their ideas. Mm-hmm. Again, I couldn't see when I was playing the game, because there's a lot to focus on.
Yeah.
But yeah, you shoot basically to the rim, like bump, 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 and then you get it in. At first, you're kind of like, what the fuck am I doing? But it just eventually clicks. And talking to him, they said that's what one of the things they like, just seeing that first people get into that just click where they go, right, they've got it now. And just seeing how long it took different people, is like some people just get it straight away, some people don't. It's like, but we're playing rhythm games, we're playing twin stick shooters a lot, dungeon crawlers, and we just thought, hey, let's put it all together.
Early one,
yeah. So yeah, we did an interview with that.
That will be live on our YouTube channel, so go and check that out. It might not be live yet, but there's various interviews that will progressively get added onto that through the time. But, yeah, nice guys.
Drastic Games.
Drastic Games, yeah. Two guys, and it's in prototype stage. Nice. And it was fucking polished as a bastard for prototype stage, which was really cool. Cause I was telling, oh, so is this in alpha or beta? And he went, oh, mate, this is still in prototype. I was like, what? That's really polished. But he said, with Epic, when you pitch something, they said, even if it's just a prototype, it has to be polished. And if it's not, they just instantaneously say no. So he's like, from what background we've gone, it's just natural for us to do that. It's just in us.
Have that higher standard of every iteration of your work, not just a finished product, but throughout its life cycle.
But they said it's something they want to continue adding different types of music. They want to add metal music. What I had was kind of like J-pop-y, upbeat-y stuff, because they said they just want to get that atmosphere and something quite simple beat for people to play. But they did say, yeah, they want metal stuff they want to go with. I said, what about weird time signature stuff? They went, hell, yeah, why not? I was like, about 7/4 and stuff. He went, yeah, we're looking at the other guy. His partner were laughing. He was just like, you know, yeah, we have kind of thought about that for the really harder levels and stuff. And kind of they went, you know, with the metal ones, we're going to have it like volcano-y and
change
hell-like.
The aesthetic based on
the awesome. I think it would be weird for it not to be a hit.
Yeah.
It's just got everything to it. It's got that style, the look. You know, it's made by two people from Epic, so
they do all right, don't they, Epic?
Except for Cliffy B recently, but
he's retired now, I'm sure.
He made what you call it, didn't he? That shooter, the one that
forced him into retirement.
Yeah, but it was meant to be really good though. It got like
something
nine.
Hunters.
I can't remember what it's called now, but it's meant to be a really good game.
It was averaging about 5 people on Steam.
But it got good reviews and stuff. The people who played it said it was alright, just wrong time, wrong place.
Yeah, it was trying to compete with Overwatch. And
then there was Those Who Remain. I can't fucking always say that one wrong. I said it wrong in the interview with him. I was like, it's too many Those Who Remain. Did an interview with them guys. It's a
Camel
101. It's a horror game, a psychological horror game, where it's about light and staying in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Very good atmosphere. The lighting effects were, now obviously they have to be good, but they were really good.
Nice.
There's bits where I was in the woods and I said to him, I was like, being from a small town and having woodlands, you really capture that feeling being in the woods in the dark, which I love it when a game does that. Alan Wake's the only game I know that's really done that right.
Gets a lot of shit, but I really liked those.
And use of fog.
Nice.
Yes, they were. This is the Twin Peaks one, so there's Twin Peaks references in there. From the trailer, there's a Shining reference. So he said, speaking to him, I was like, do we expect more references? And he went, yes. There'll be obvious ones, but also little sort of ones. But from what you were saying about the story, it's going to deal with bullying and breaking up with loved ones. So it sounds like it's going to have a real deep story to it. And
mature content. I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
Especially for narratives these days don't really incorporate those sort of important life lessons.
I didn't know Shift was run for most of the demo, so it took me forever to do it. Until it says Shift was run. I don't play PC a lot, sorry guys.
So many times. Where you're just like, I didn't realise that was a run button. I just thought you could only just walk. I thought it was meant to be immersive in that way.
But that's going to be a good horror game.
Nice.
He said one of my questions was going to be, but yeah, I kind of answered it anyway. About jump scares and not focusing on jump scares, and I'm very much more for that.
Because I hate jump scares, because it's not scary, it's just a reaction. That's all the jump scare is, it's a reaction, it's not actual being frightened.
Yeah, I think I'm not against jump scares, saying yeah, I'm not against QTEs. I just think they need to be few and far between. Because they can be done quite well.
Yeah, they're just overdone now. So, from talking to him, that's someone who, on the horror level, I appreciate what he was saying, because it's things that I agree with and stuff, what he was saying. So, I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice.
So, yeah, check that out, Those Who Remain.
Shall we discuss Pode?
So, Pode was a two-player couch co-op. That was more about shapes as an art style than anything else. You controlled a sphere and a cube. And each of those were...
Sun and stone.
Kind of, yeah. It was night and day. One was to create vegetation, which was who you predominantly played as. Even though you could switch characters, you wouldn't let me swap to be in that character, which...
Honestly, mate, it's similar to the Lego games where you press triangle and you change character. Every time Griggs tried to change my character, triangle, back.
Yeah.
I am going to be this character, I want to be the sunshine.
Yeah, I noticed.
So, but the sunshine character got to make everything green, and got to make plants and things look pretty. And Griggs didn't want me to do that because we could move on from the puzzle, but then not everything was green, so, you know.
I just wanted to do the puzzles and get as far as we could in the limited time we had. But no, it was really cool. It was really cute. It was very... It really encouraged communication within your couch cops.
Or lack of communication in our case.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't help, but... for most of the puzzles, especially when we were getting towards the end of it, the puzzles are very much like there's a tiny little bit there you got to do while someone stands still and then moves around, and then there was a lot of back and forth to get to the end of it. So whilst you see a lot of couch co-op games that are, okay, you got to do that and I've got to do that, doesn't really work in the same way as it did this one, where there was so much back and forth between the two of you to actually get through the puzzle, which was
cool. So that was from Henchman and Goon.
Yeah, I played that with the marketing lady, Lynn. That was one of the playtime sessions I had.
Yes.
And it looked really nice. There was a lot of heart into it, you could tell. I did like how you had to work together, so you had to jump on one's head to get over to the other, stuff like that.
We'll go around and make everything green.
Yeah, to be honest, I was kind of doing that anyway, because I was just like, I have to. I played it. It reminded me of a game on the 360 that I can't remember, where you're underwater and you have to, but I think it's called Bloom, that was it, and you have to bloom all the life, and I got well into that.
I was that as well. Yeah, like flower.
You've got some nice information on Pode, haven't you?
So, actually, it was Griggs' information and not mine, but as he can't remember half the game.
Clearly can't remember it. So, sorry.
You know, I'll remember it for him. So, basically, over the time, I believe it was a 3-year period that they took to make the game. there's not a massive team of them. They lost quite a few loved ones over the time. So, they made a secret room throughout the whole, or a secret room for each person who passed away throughout the whole game. It's all coming back to Griggs.
Yeah.
That
nearly broke me.
Face.
I'm remembering why I forgot this. I was like, nope, just pushed that out of my brain.
Oh, no, I've just reminded you. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Welcome.
You didn't make me cry.
He's had a drink, man.
You
try not to cry, that'd be great. It's emotionally unstable.
Yeah, just don't cry.
I'm going to now. You didn't have time when she was telling me about it.
Too hungover for that shit.
Like, whoa, this is way too real.
So anyway, she told us that, and I thought that was very beautiful.
Mm.
And you know, obviously you don't have to do the secret rooms to be able to complete the game. I believe it was 6 to 8 hours?
Something like that, yeah, 6 to 8 hours. That seems to be a common theme with most Lifespan.
Which is about right for an indie game.
Yeah, I agree.
I found out she told me that the designer wanted a game that she could play with a son, child.
You're just assuming it's a boy,
aren't we? Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, she wanted a game where adults and children could enjoy both together. And I mean, yeah, the game, there's a nice little cutscene where Summit bangs and they like hold each other's hand and then they kind of like let go and stuff. Like, there's a lot of nice.
I would not want to hold Grizzly's hand.
No, there was like, we were like, well, let's just hold hands and let's just go through here because we're meant to. Like, no. Like, well,
I'm making things green.
Yeah.
But yeah, Poe, I think, yeah, it's a nice little game, that.
Yeah,
it was a nice
really,
game.
Really is. A lot of heart. Then they were, we'll go with, we'll do the Digirati section. So Matt from Digirati, big shout out to him for allowing us to play lots of games. And then there was his, what's his other company called? He's just started it. Some at Fists. Double Fists. With that's what Val Ferraris is on. So the guys who made
that section was brilliant in terms of some of the games that they have.
Yeah.
Digital Uppercut,
that's it. Sorry, Matt. We've been drinking.
Still a lot of stuff there.
So Val Ferraris is made by the people who made Slain, but it's the first time that the second programmer of Slain, back from Hell, worked on, who basically made a really, it was like ranked, like getting 20%, 30%, and now he made it go up to like 75%.
Yeah, it was, Slain was released, and then they got a new programmer in, and then he redid it and did Back from Hell, the new iteration.
Yeah.
And yeah, changed it around, and then this was the first game of them actually working from the together.
From the ground
from
up.
The ground up,
yeah. And they love metal, which you can tell. And you know what, metal music sometimes has me out, but that game, it did get me pumped. But yeah. It's about...
I loved, before you go into what it's about, I loved when you picked up a weapon, you saw his little animation, and rather than it being just like holding something above your head, he was like proper thrashing his head bang into it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a nice little...
But yeah, you go on this planet, well, no, this... planet goes away.
Yeah, there was something about a dying star or some,
and it just reappeared and you go there to investigate, i.e. shoot the shit out of everything.
Yeah,
it's a shooter, it's great.
So it's a 2D platform shooter which used melee combat as well as shooting, and you had a second weapon which was like your big blaster which you get quite far through.
Yeah, it's quite time, well. Yeah, you got it quite early on. It's, you know, it reminded me of kind of early Castlevania mixed with, you know, like yeah, metal sluggy stuff. You know, it's a good shooter.
Mm.
The bosses were pretty tough. That junkyard boss was a dick.
Yeah, I don't think I saw anyone beat him easily when I was watching lots of stuff on that, which was quite good.
But yeah, I mean, it's really solid. Again, it's really, really, really solid. A lot of fun. The checkpointing is perfect. So every time there was a hard part, there was a checkpoint right before. So you just it makes you continue playing.
Was that something that I was talking to him about, which you may not have heard? Was you collect like orbs. And you can either use those to create a checkpoint, or if you save them towards the end of the level and beat them with those extra orbs in them, you can use them to help your character progression and grow your equipment and inventory and stuff to make them stronger. So there's that sort of balance of being able to, similar to, you know, your early Resident Evils, which had the typewriters and stuff, which means that you can save it and resource manage your way through a level and,
yeah,
do it a lot better. So it rewards those that are, you know, better at these games.
With one T or two.
Without any.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Better.
Then I.
Is that 'cause it makes beer if you take the T's out?
No, I'm just from Nottingham. We don't really say our T's in Nottingham.
Nottingham.
Yeah.
Or G's apparently.
Don't say them either. Yeah.
Then I played Spectrum, which is a weird kind of puzzle platformer thing. It was very...
Have we just moved on from Digirati?
No, this is Digirati.
This is all Digirati.
It's a very it's very slick in its presentation, very arty, graphic designy. The soundtrack was ace. The soundtrack reminded me of Black Dog, kind of plaid, Warp Records, kind of chilled out shit, which I'm all up for. Not really a lot to say about it, besides it's just a very chilled out game to play. Switch is perfect for.
Yes.
Just picking it up and just having a few, doing a few levels, because it's about doing them really quick. So each level's about 30 seconds.
Awesome.
So just real quick thing. Pick up and play. Perfect for the Switch. It's on other consoles, so check it out if you just want something to blast on quick. But definitely the Switch is, it just feels completely right on that. Spectrum, I really enjoyed it, really something I could just get into, and you wanted, because there's things you collect and then you get rewards for doing it in a certain time, so it's something where you'll just play just to do good, just for your own sake. Then I played Nuclear Golf, which I don't know if I should say this, sorry Max, I know you've not actually announced this yet, but we played it. And
I played it as well, it was
a hell of a lot of fun.
It was, yeah. I've played a few golf games over time. I've recently been playing Golf Story on the Switch. And
that's one I need to get.
Not the same sort of game, but it's also golf. And it's 2D, horizontal 2D rather than vertical, like Golf Story is. But yeah, it was a really cool little art style. It was a really cool
concept.
Really cool little design elements in it that kind of made it unique. So it was nuclear, so it had explosions, it had nuclear wastelands.
Yeah, you had to do it in a certain time as well, otherwise you just died, didn't you? You died of nuclear poisoning.
It was very unforgiving. Like, the first time I played it, I managed to get a pixel or two away from the hole about 7 times. Ain't not going.
And then you saw me just fucking one shot it straight away, and you were like, "Dick." You know what? Again, on this, it's again a game on the Switch that on the Switch just will feel ace. Because it's just something you can pick up, play. You know what? There's not enough games like that where you just pick up and play, have a lot of fun time. I could see myself getting really into that golf game just because it's just. Easy, simple.
One more go.
Oh, yeah, and it's fucking. Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then you're like, oh shit,
I need to plug this in. Fuck.
You've been plugging it in before.
But that, I really enjoyed that game. Lola, I know you played a game from Digirati before we go on to our last Digirati one, what me and Griggs played, I'll let you talk about your game that you pretty much bought the next day.
Well, that's not a glowing testament. I don't know what it is.
Not just that one, but the first one as well.
Wow.
So, Bleed 2 was what Bleed I 2. Tried. So, there was a lady there when I got there, and bless her, she kept trying to do this boss. She was like, okay, I'm too frustrated, I can't deal with it anymore. Like, that, but you can't do that boss.
Right.
So, I couldn't quite work out the controls. So.
I remember this.
So, I started from the beginning, and I was like, can I start from the start? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I set it from the beginning so I could learn the controls, because it was all a bit backward for me. Because I've always played with a console.
Mm-hmm.
X has always been jump to me. Like, I know it's all different in different games, but in that game, no, it was R2. I was like, I can't deal with this. This is random. And to aim and shoot was the right stick.
Mm-hmm.
Which made loads of sense in a side-scroller. It made sense.
Yeah, jumper. Like,
yeah, again, R2 is shoot. So, X was actually taunt in the game, so I did a lot of taunting.
You did a lot of taunting. I remember watching maybe a show.
Once I died the first time with the boss, because obviously I didn't have freaking clue what I was doing.
You were taunting it all the time.
I was taunting it pretty much, which looks cool, until I got hit too many times and had died. And then second time around, I was like, right, this boss is going down. Anyway, I think I got through with the skin of my teeth with about 10 health left.
Nice.
And I just really enjoyed it. Like, I'm not normally the kind of person to go for that sort of art style.
Yeah, so it was a very cartoony, something that you'd imagine on like a Cartoon Network or a
thing. Remind me a bit of Kim Possible.
Yeah.
Powerpuff Girls. I have massive Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, Powerpuff Girls very colourful and very bright.
I love colour.
Yeah.
Colour's pretty.
I was surprised for you because it's not your type of game.
Not my type of game either. At all.
So you took to it quite that way, and I've emailed Matt back with that, saying, you know, it's not usually a type of game. Testament to how good that game
is. Yeah, that game is just so much fun. It's rapid replay as well, so you just start from the beginning again. If you mess it up, you go back to the beginning. I can't remember what button it was, but it's pretty much rapid return.
Instant restart.
Yeah, it's an instant restart, which makes my life so much easier, because I hate load times. They drive me insane. So it was a bit different from my normal open world that I'd normally play, or my story game, but it's got a bit of story to it, and that's what intrigued me.
Nice.
I was like, I wonder what the story is behind this. And now, when I came home on that Sunday, straight on the PC, downloading Bleed and Bleed 2,
nice.
Off Steam. And so I've been trying to play Bleed, and Bleed's hard. Bleed 2 is definitely better.
Okay.
The first boss-ish thing in Bleed is taking on this flipping helicopter. So the first thing you do is take on a helicopter that will not die until you've climbed up while shooting it. So you have to do like triple jumps and shoot at the same time. Nice. And honestly, it's the most backward thing ever. You get up to the top and you get to like your boss arena type thing. You take it on, you kill it, and you're right, finally after the first boss. You move on, you think, right, let's go to the end of the screen, that'll be the end of the level. No, here's another boss.
Nice.
Hiya. So then you take on another boss straight after you've just taken on one boss and your health is practically at zero. You then take on another boss. There is no health pickup.
Wow, very unforgiving.
So you are straight in for a second boss. And it's like, okay, this is fun. But eventually I managed to get Blobby done.
Cool.
But yeah, like, you have to time your jumps right on.
That's very, very much the norm nowadays. Yeah. In those sort of indie games which are, side-scrolling or vertical scrolling or whichever, and especially your shooters, they have to be tight. They have to be incredibly pixel perfect in terms of your jumps, because they're very unforgiving. Because people that have played them, and I'm not someone that plays a lot of them anymore, and when I try to, I fail miserably a lot of time. People already know what they have going in. So yeah, you mentioned the mapping's different, but for the majority of people that are able to adapt to that, they'll be able to pick this stuff up very quickly, and because they'd have played hundreds of games like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which isn't a bad thing in any way.
No. I picked up both Bleed and Bleed 2 for under a tenner on Steam.
Bargain.
Got it as a bundle. So, yeah.
So each game's less than a pint if you're in London. Oh, or at the EGX after party.
Here we go. Well, about the same. About the same as 2 pints at the EGX after party.
Pints? Fucking.
Okay, 2 bottles.
Bottles, 330 mils of them. Fucking.
Unless you have Bulmers, it's 500 mil.
Yeah.
You got treated.
Then the last one was one we played, Black Paradox, which was a shmup that you could level up in. It's a shmup.
Shmups are fun.
Yeah. I've got time for shmups, so I mean, there was a lot of it seemed very 80s in its aesthetic and kind of a bit daft and silly in that way.
That's a good thing, I find.
Kind of remind me with the leveling up of the UN Squadron a little bit. But yeah, it's just shmup. Check it out if you like shmups.
Yeah.
Next one we'll go with the big one. They had a few is Chucklefish. Sure, again, we had an interview with Tom, who was...
Product manager.
He was. First game there, Time Shift. No, was it Time Shift?
Time
Spinner. Time Spinner.
I've already recommended this to someone who's probably going to buy it shortly. I will probably buy this one as well. I went back and played it after you did, and it is something that plays with time is always a fun narrative.
So it's Metroidvania game. more in the sense of Castlevania than Super Metroid. Mm-hmm. In like, there's a lot more leveling up, so the RPG elements are kind of more forefront. You level up the character, you said you get familiars, which you level up. You also level up the weapons.
So yeah, you level up the weapons, you level up the abilities, you level up the familiars, which is a little, let's say, Navi following you around.
Hey, listen!
Yeah, I don't think they ever told me to listen, though, which was great. But it was also a very dark, like, not dark as in content-wise, it was quite dark content-wise, but it was also, the colour palette was, it was very greyscales, and but it kind of led to that sort of dystopian sort of world,
there was the time mechanic, which I only had the ability to stop time. I don't know if there's going to be more kind of time mechanics.
Yeah, you mentioned that there's...
Which I imagine it was going to be. But, yeah, it's, you know what, a really solid Metroidvania game. I'm a huge Super Metroid fan. So, yeah, I'll be picking this one up because it was 100% my bag. Played really well. He says that with the abilities, not so much sequence breaking, but you can get to places potentially that you shouldn't do. That's not going to crash or break the game.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, that's what makes a Metroidvania game. Is all that.
But this is the playing with the time. So one of the things you can do is you can stop enemies still. And then you can use them being stopped in motion to be able to jump, use them as a platform to get somewhere else. So you can get quite creative in terms of how you get past enemies, because you don't gain anything from killing them, from what I can tell. It's like you collect orbs or souls or...
I think you got sand for your time ability.
And I thought that was... Yeah, you got time back, which is basically ammo. Yeah.
And then, obviously, you get experience points.
Yeah.
To level up. But which just levels up anyway, like Castlevania does. So yeah, really solid Metroidvania game. Check it out. Yeah, it's a sure hit. I'm pretty sure it will be. It's I reckon it'll do well in reviews and everything, because it is just really tight, played well, and it's got everything that you want in that type of Metroidvania game where you can match abilities to do stuff.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, and I don't mean this in a negative way, it is only on PlayStation and Xbox and Steam, and not on the Switch.
Hopefully, it should find its way on the Switch.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get Panic Button on the phone and see if they can do a port like this.
Because it would make a lot of sense for that. Then I played Inmost.
Inmost? Which one was Inmost?
Black and white one.
It's black and white, kind of... Game Boy-ish graphics, reminded me. But very kind of dark in subject matter, dark. It really, he pitched it to, oh, what did he pitch it to me as? He pitched
was
it to
me. Was
this
another one? Because I know the one we just spoke about, Time Spinners, that was a single developer. Was this another one that was a single developer?
I believe it was. Or it's a very small studio, I think, from Norway or Switzerland, something like that.
Scandinavian.
Scandinavian, developer. and that was... He pitched it to me like a To the Moon, but in a platform style. For me, it really reminded me of Another World. Mm. And when I said that to him, I could see Tom's cogs go and went, yes. It's just got that... More about not being able to damage stuff, but surviving through lateral thinking and puzzles and your ability to dodge.
See, it reminded me more of Inside.
Yeah, but again, Inside took a lot from Another World, because Another World's one of the most influential games ever made, for good reason, because it's years old and still extremely playable today, because it's ace. So, it reminded me a lot of that. And it had, I'm pretty sure it had like time jumps in narrative. So one minute he was really young, next minute I was older, then I was a really old man. But that's a game I can see myself, again, with time. I mean, again, the two games I played from Chucklefish, Time Spinner is a game I can sink my teeth into. Mm-hmm. In Mouse, again, is a game I could see myself sink my teeth into.
Again, another one which was quite a unique art style. I remember the guy with the beard.
Yeah,
I related to that guy.
Tom.
No, the character. The guy.
Oh, right, yeah.
The guy had a beard and the it was one of the few pixel arts that I remember seeing with the guy with a beard.
Yeah, well, he said that the characters are very relatable, and that's why I said To the Moon was a good shout to compare it to with that regards. I didn't play any other Chucklefish games, unfortunately.
There was an RTS that they had, which I wanted to play. But
which I was going to talk about, is their own developed one called Wargroove, which was very much like Advance Wars.
Yes, that was kind of why. Yeah, was it Tom you said? Yeah, he, whilst you were playing, he said a very scary stat to me, which made me feel incredibly old. But he said it was a game for people that had played Advance Wars, but there was plenty of people that were playing this game that weren't even alive when Advance Wars came out. And it shows that this game is showing that you don't have to know Advance Wars to be able to play it. But it kind of made me realise how long it's been since Advance Wars came out.
It
just resonated with me much longer than I
He also mentioned with that how you can make your own campaigns, your own levels, and share them online. So there's a massive build community. Again, Chucklefish seem like they're doing some really interesting things.
Yeah, they are.
Really good stuff. Again, same with Digirati, them two publishers really knocked it out of the park.
For the
publishers. Different styles are like Digirati for the kind of easy pick up and play and just like get involved with summer, as Chucklefish seem to be more something you sink into, I think. Longer play time.
Yeah, I also think in terms of Chucklefish, from what I understand and from what they're saying, they seem very lenient with their developers.
Yeah, I really like their philosophy.
You take as long as you need to make this game, just make sure you make it right. It was kind of the message we got from the two or three games that we were talking to Tom about. Especially with, I think, Time Spinners was in development for... I think he even said that the guy originally made the assets designs when he was 10, and he's been slowly building this, and he's been making it for like 7 years while doing other jobs. And similar with the war thingy.
Wargroove.
That was a long development cycle.
They're making another game, which is a witch one, RPG kind of witchcraft thing. He didn't speak too much about it, but I really like both of their philosophies. When it comes to publishing, and definitely go check them both out.
Yeah,
100%. We go on to a supporter of this channel now, Cardlife.
Cardlife. Bless their little hearts.
Absolute Andy. Big shout out to Andy. Nice guy. Do you want to say that again?
Free jam.
Yeah, very nice.
Never got no free jam. Where's my free jam?
Andy, where's a free jam?
No, we went round with stickers. If you've got a Drinking Games podcast sticker, do let us know. I did ask on Twitter, but you know you're all rude and didn't bother. I want photos. He got our sticker and went and put it on the instructions of how to play the game.
Which, for anyone that played the game, you had to look at the instructions.
Yeah.
Because it's... I don't like reiterating what we said earlier, but I don't like using other games to describe it, but think Minecraft. But just with a lot more detail and a lot more enjoyable out of it. And an art design which you don't get in that. You get to make your own stuff. Everything within it was editable and amendable and enabled you to create your own stamp onto your game style.
Everything's made out of cardboard, so therefore it's kind of a dot-to-dot system, but like when we was talking in the interview, they found out that with the dot-to-dot system, people don't follow the dots, so people ended up creating their own thing. So you can have an outline of a sword, but you can change that sword into what you want it to look like. So it's very customizable. And it's a game that will feature robots, dragons and dinosaurs all in the same thing made out of cardboard. I mean, if that doesn't turn you on, what the hell will?
Yeah, I think that was one of the unique things that you mentioned. It was it starts in a prehistoric era, and as the game progresses, you progress over time. It's like very reminiscent of Civ in many ways.
Yeah.
So there is a solo mode as well as the online multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's going to attract a lot of younger people. Which is good. You know, but online multiplayer is younger people, that can end badly, you know. So, you know, it's great if you know who you play online with, but if you don't, then it's obviously a scary world. So, obviously, the solo side, great for kids, the solo side of things. There's no blood. They make all the characters out of real cardboard first as well.
Yeah.
Before they go to production of it.
That was quite interesting, because most 3D models are done using clay before they get 3D animated, but they very much were, oh, we didn't use clay, we used cardboard, and that's how we ended our 3D models from the it was really cool to
makes more sense to use cardboard.
It does. It really
when
does
the whole world's made out of cardboard, they will make it out of cardboard.
Yeah. It makes it a lot easier for them in terms of
but that. Yeah, it's like a survival game. You know what? It's they want to really build a community. You could tell they really wanted this to be something special.
Yeah.
And I think it has the potential to be so. I think it's going to need, and they've already said they've got about 20,000 people in the community already, which is phenomenal for a game that's not even really big yet, or even out yet. I'm not even sure it's out yet.
No, it's out, I want to say next week.
Next week, there we go.
October, I know we said October.
But it's going to strive, and it's going to really use the player community to build those assets, to build that world, to build more content that they would never be able to do in the amount of time that they've got to make these games. So if it can get that community back in to have player-driven content into it, you can see so much fun in that world.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I really love, sorry to jump in, but you can export all your creations and put them into a JPEG, and then you can use other software to build your creations. So if you're really good at Adobe or fuck Adobe, any
Adobe.
Well,
I'd rather not fuck Adobe.
Well, that was the first one that came to my mind. I was like, no, any video editing, not video, bloody hell. Any
image editing,
any drawing.
Why do we use Illustrator? Why not?
Why not Illustrator? But anything like that. They were saying that you can use tablets, you can use pencils and anything to draw your own imagery, to create your own content, so you're not just limited to their production tools, you can export them to use anything that you use. So if you're going to drive to get players to create content, you're allowing them to use tools that they're already familiar with to build these assets in a world.
Can you use Paint 3D?
Probably, yeah. As long as you can export it to a JPEG, then you can import it as a JPEG.
But yeah, I remember mentioning that. And that, you know, they really want to make something special, and you can tell that with the enthusiasm and just with the whole concept. And I really do hope it does be that. I mean,
I'll be following it. I don't PC game, so I'm not going to be able to play this when it comes out. But I will be following it, and I really hope it does take off.
Yeah, because it'd be a nice idea. And I think it will get kids thinking more about creating and 3D modelling and stuff, because that's what he said the original idea was from.
Yes.
The main developer wanted his son to do 3D modelling, so this was the tool they made to help him with that. And I think, you know what, it'll get a lot of kids thinking into that.
Yeah, let's hope so.
But go on to, well, my last one on the list. I don't know if anyone else has got it. But
one.
Do you want to do it now then?
So we got to play Velocity, which is already out.
Okay, stop. Velocity 2X as well.
I didn't realise there was an extra
two times actually.
Two times, but I enjoyed it, and then they gave me a poster, and I was like, I don't want to take this poster because it's not going to make it home.
Oh shit! I've still got your poster.
No, I've got one. I know you got one when you played at the beginning. Yeah. You got a poster and put it in a little tube.
Yeah.
I then went back and played it a little bit later and got given one of, I don't want this. But it managed to get all the way home. So because it managed to get all the way home, I was like, well,
survived.
It survived, which means I'll get this game. I've not really played it much, so please.
I forgot to do your 50% off thing for that game that you killed the woman, child, whatever.
Oh, that's still 50% off. That's 50. Okay. There's quite a few something.
And it was all curved digital. That's where we found them, wasn't it? That was on the Sunday.
Yeah. I really liked Velocity. I've played, let's say, about 20 minutes of it so far. I really liked, again, it's mapped quite weird, which I still struggle with in terms of moving around, because it's all about going fast.
Like Sonic.
Like Sonic, yeah. I'm glad you got that reference. It's shoot things. And, yeah, so it's a combination between your 3D, not 3D, but your 2D of a...
It's a shmup.
Yeah.
It's a shmup.
Yeah.
It's a fun shmup.
Yes.
And also, like, these little orbs that you do collect as survivors, you kind of feel a little bit bad when you don't get one, but not so bad that you want to go back.
Well, you can if you want to try 100% each level, which I probably
you
will.
You are trying to, aren't you?
Yeah, you probably will.
Again, it's got... instant restart.
It does have an instant restart.
And you can move the checkpoints.
Can you?
Yeah.
Move the checkpoint.
See, this is why you should let me talk about it, but no!
I just said I played the game.
No, you know that blue thing that you start on at each level?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can move that.
You
can place it wherever in the whole level. And every time you die, that's where you'll start again.
That seems pretty pointless. Are you meant to get all the survivors and all the crystals and do it in
order? Yeah, but for example, you've got to a certain point. It's like a save point. So it's a checkpoint. So if you've got all the survivors like a third way through the level, like up to that point,
mm-hmm.
may as well chuck your thing there, because when you die, you start there again. And you've still got all your survivors.
Sounds like a really cool way of assisting you get through the base levels. Yeah. But I'm a bit of a perfectionist as well. I already have gone back a few times, but that's good to know. I didn't know that at all.
It's a game I know about, not played.
When she's out of a ship, it reminds me, without trying to deviate too much, but it reminds me a lot of Metroid and Samus in terms of her look, her feel, the narrative in terms of what the storyline is, and the way that you move around the levels. But it's just a lot faster. It's really good.
It's a game I've looked at lots, just never got around to buying. But, right, well, we'll go to the last, definitely not the least. which we all probably agree on with.
Amsterdam.
You just shut up.
Is it because I stole your one?
Yes, we know you're still here, Lola.
Double Pug Switch.
I'm going to throw this thing at you. Which we know that, I think we all agree, was something quite special.
Yes.
Which was Deserter.
You were waiting for me to say something else, weren't you?
I was going to kick you in the face.
What's the full title of the game?
It's called
Story of...
Deserter, a Game of Sorority.
Game of Sorority, that's the one.
There we go, we'll get that in the end. It's fine. That was it was really weird for me because like people were watching me that knew the game and had played it and I was just like, I felt a bit of depression.
Talk about what the game is somewhere?
Yeah, so
it's a game.
It's a single developer, I really can't remember her name.
Daisy Fernandez.
I could probably just find her on my phone.
I'm on Twitter.
Creep.
I'm on Twitter. Yeah. I usually do that. It was a story set in and a world set in. It was a very unique sort of art style, 3D models, but yeah. You played a lot of lighting played a big part of it, where you wouldn't be able to see too far in front of you, which helped restrict what you were looking for, but in a very good way of doing it. It was story of this this woman that's trying to desert the war, which is not something that you hear about much. So she was pretending to be somebody, which by from what she was saying, it kind of sounds like the narrative is going to continue down this role of she pretends to be somebody else to get her through and further away from the war, and that seems what the narrative push was to get away from it. But what was really cool was the element of getting through each puzzle was this weight system of carrying somebody.
Yeah.
And it very much made you sort of circle back around and get to certain places. So you had this something to then get to the next point and to reiterate it and to really learn the map.
I had the best idea with that game.
Oh, I?
Yeah, just leave the woman.
Just leave the woman?
Yeah, so you know at the when you've got your thingy that you missed at the train tracks.
Yeah.
The moose.
Yeah, I didn't want to carry the moose because she was running really slow. So I was like, I'm going to go run over there. But it's going to take me 4 hours if I run there with a moose on my back. So I'll leave that. I'll go check I'm going the right direction and then I'll come back with the moose.
So yeah, then I decided just to leave without the woman. Leave her with the moose.
Okay.
Apparently I was the first person to do that. Over 4 days, I was the first person to do that. And also to have a chat with the game.
Well, I was going to say, like, surely immediately after that, you enter encampment, which has... I really liked some of the dialogue in it, where they were taking the piss, but sure they mentioned the fact that, oh, no, she's fine, she's helping the injured, or there's some way you have to put the woman in a little bit later to actually get through a checkpoint.
Yeah, that was about right.
I thought it was a bit after that. No. Maybe not. Still, well done for breaking her game.
Yeah, I broke it.
Doing it wrong.
So I ended up putting her in the snow first.
Right.
So there was only half a woman first, and then I decided to move her because I felt a bit bad, and then tried to leave her there. Until Jack went, "You forgetting something?" I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Apparently I was. I had a better. My idea was much better. I ran a lot quicker. Without her, so. She was fine. She could have stayed there.
You both actually missed this one part where you like. Climb up this thing and it like goes to this massive screen.
I didn't like realise both of you two were analysing me play this game.
Oh my god, while watching you, it was so frustrating to watch you do it. Which, and Daisy said the same. She's like, it's just so weird to watch somebody do the game and not know how to do it. She knew obviously the game backwards. And like Jack was getting frustrated with me. I could feel it behind me.
But yeah, there's this bit you both just ran past where it, like. Looks at the screen, it shows you like the army nurse kind of like advert come up in the war.
Nice.
Yeah, it's, you know what, something special going on with that one, and I hope it does come out.
I hope she continues making it. I hope she fills it through to fruition, because it's got all the framework of a fantastic game.
Yeah, it could be. I think... Well, I hope that she gets regarded afterwards as a full name when people talk about the game, because that's, let's be honest, the highest honour you can get as a game designer when someone refers you as just by a full name, Hideo Kojima, Ken Levine, you know,
Krasinski.
It's like the highest thing you've made it when someone says your full name. So I think, you know, given that, people will be probably saying, you know, a full name and...
Let's hope so.
She had put a lot of heart in that game.
Yeah.
And you could tell she'd put herself. Say it was a university project. You know, hopefully she continues it. I think she's taking a break for now from it and then going back, which is probably the best thing because you don't want to rush something as beautiful and, as that.
Yeah, everything from its art style and mechanics, everything just kind of made sense.
I just broke it.
Well, that's what... game testers are supposed to do.
Yeah.
I should be a game tester. I can play games.
Very
boring. I can break a game. I break lots of games.
But yeah, again, the lighting, there was some really quite cinematic moments
really
in the game. And the use of colour as well. It was really good.
Yeah, again, it was a very grey palette, but then it would use colour to sort of
accentuate. So like the red, like lift things and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Schindler's List in terms of, you know, that grey, and then, or even Sin City is probably more relevant way of.
Yeah, Schindler's List is a war, kind of anti-war kind of thing. Well, yeah. You know, Schindler's List is not anti-war, but, well, yeah, it is. But not in the kind of anti-war way that game's going to be. But, and again, anti-war game, which is good, because, let's be honest, Call of Duty and everything, it's always, let's go and shoot some folk, and this is saying, well, no, this is, you know, there's another side of war.
Yeah, there's
real side of war, where no one walks away happy.
Yeah. as much as the game industry is glamorizing war and death and violence, it's really good to see the other side of it, the side of, you know, fuck this, I'm getting out. Like, I'm not staying here. I'll do whatever I can to not have to kill people. And it felt like the game was very much driving home at that point. So, Daisy, continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. After
whatever break you can do. But yeah, check it out if you can, Bez.
Yeah, check it out. It's, you know, it's on Twitter and stuff. I think it's got a buzz behind it after EGX.
And on the run up to EGX, they actually did artwork to tell the story before it actually arrived at EGX.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you go on the Twitter page or the Zelda game, it is truly stunning.
Nice. Yeah, I'll definitely
really nice check artwork.
That. Any more for any more?
No, that's it. Yeah, Indies pretty much stole the show.
Yeah.
As I said, there was just pretty much all of them were either really just fun games or something really special to look out for. And you know what? I wish them all the best, really do. And I hope they do either come out or they find the success that they need to carry on making games, which is what most of the developers just wanted, just a good enough success to go and make the next one. And, you know, I can roll with that.
Yeah, definitely. Keep doing what you're doing, people. And check them out if you...
Yeah, check them all out. If, yeah, you know, the 10 people that listen to this. Go check them out because they are all fantastic games.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.